Hello and welcome to the TCF Morning Show. It is Thursday, January 14th, and this morning I am joined by Jonathan Game at TCF Game Boy and Boomy at Boomy TCF. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at typical underscore Chicago. This morning we will be talking about our thoughts on the Chicago Bears end of the season press conference and what was said, and it made no sense, but it made sense for who was talking. So that was one of the toughest things I've listened to in a while. And then we'll talk about the James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets, a 4-team trade. I think the Houston Rockets have 4 first-round picks from the Brooklyn Nets. So that is pretty wild. And then we'll have Boomy's Wacky Web Story. If you want to follow us on Instagram or Facebook, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to YouTube, type in Typical Chicago Fans, and subscribe to the YouTube page. Morning shows, podcasts, interviews, food reviews, all on the YouTube page. And then wherever you get your podcast from, if it's Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. If it's anywhere else, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com Chicago. Go over there, buy some shirts, just like the one Boomy has behind him, and use the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase at 26shirts.com Chicago. Boys, we got our Blackhawks gear on. Boomy started out with the jersey. I said, I got to throw my jersey on. So then Gamer, he threw on his sweatshirt. We're watching the game right now. Unfortunately, the Stanley Cup is being given to the Tampa Bay Lightning. But we'll get into that on another date because we don't have Matty Pucks on. Matty Pucks.
Yeah.
He has the – what did he say he got? The NHL package?
Yeah. Yeah, he got that for a decent little price. So Matty's going to be full of hockey information for the next 6 months or so.
Matty Pucks Matty. Is a full effect. But, boys, let's get right into it. I know – Gamer's going to have some thoughts on this. I'm going to get my thoughts out real quick on the end of the year press conference. We are screwed for I don't know how much longer because we're keeping everybody. The only thing that's changing is Chuck Pagano retired. So he wanted to get away from this. You can't blame him. And we go out there and George McCaskey. You're not a football guy. You're trying to make it out like you're making these decisions, and why are we trusting this guy to make all these decisions? It just makes no sense to me. We're going backwards. We're not going forward. I don't know where the Bears are going to be in a few years because we don't know when to make a change. And at some point, it's going to come back to bite us in the ass and we're going to be screwed. What has Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy done over the last few years to prove that I'm not up in arms that they're, yes, it sucks that they're staying, whatever. But to give them that they're doing well and you can't look at just the wins, what else are we supposed to look at? The quarterback that you guys drafted and wasted a bunch of picks just to get to that spot, and it was Mitch Trubisky, and it wasn't Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. So I don't get what they have done to deserve the praise they pretty much got today.
I am with you 100%. You said it right off the bat that we're just screwed, and that is so true. We're screwed. And, you know, I can understand bringing Nagy back. I don't like Nagy. I don't. I've been saying the entire year I want him fired. However, I can understand it to a point because he's been there for 3 years, made the playoffs twice. but I cannot understand bringing Pace back. The dude has had three chances to pick a quarterback and has failed every single time. He right away, one of the first things he did was said, you know, we're going to, or what was it about this? They fired Lovie Smith, right?
Back when he went 10-6.
10-6. And you fired him because you said that wasn't good enough. That it wasn't where you wanted to be. Fast forward to the year 2021. Here we are, 8-8, which is football purgatory. And all of a sudden, that's good enough to get bring everybody back. That makes no sense to me. It shows an inconsistency, and it shows that we're just okay now being mediocre and being an average football team. And that's what they are. They're an average football team. They're going to be worse next year because they're not going to have Allen Robinson because there's no way he wants to come back. He's going somewhere with the quarterback where he can get paid. And then I don't see the Bears making a big splash for a quarterback. I think their best case is going to be possibly bringing Mitch back on a cheaper deal, but I don't even think he wants to do that. So it's no matter what way you look at it, it's bad for the Bears.
How do we bring Ted Phillips back is my biggest thing. How is that the move? He is not a football guy. Why do we not have a football guy who knows football overseeing the football operations of the Chicago Bears? That makes no sense to me. I'm not a big X's and O's of the football game, but I do understand that you probably should have somebody that understands the game in that position. But
you guys both said it really well. And obviously, like, you can look at what I'm going to say, and obviously I'm a Packers fan, but, like, we talk about the Bears on this show, every day, basically, from August to December. But, Gamer, you said it very well. It's the acceptance of mediocrity that has got to be just painstaking. And you see – you make a great point, Gamer, and there's Bears fans that said, it's time for Lovie to go. It's time for Lovie to go. It's like I don't agree with that, first of all. Like you said, 10-6, and now you're 8-8, and you're accepting that? Like, people have been fired for a lot worse, and – obviously, the decisions made by the front office with the draft, and Mitch, and, you know, going, you could look at a million different things, but it's the acceptance of being the most average thing in football, which is an 8-8 record, and saying that, and then trying to fluff it up and saying, like, oh, they've built these things. It's been a challenging year with COVID. And, you know, I hate to admit, you know, Lawrence Holmes nailed it before the press conference when he said all the excuses that were going to come out. And that's what you saw. It was an excuse train as to why 8-8 was acceptable. And I feel, you know, Chuck Pagano's done so much. The guy's battled cancer and, you know, came back. And I don't think the Bears' defense was the issue this year. I think we can all agree to that. But you said it well, Zach. You know, he was like, I don't want to be a part of this. I'm done. I've put in my time. I've made my money. I'm gone. But the acceptance of mediocrity has to be infuriating as a fan.
Yeah, and going back to Lovie Smith, like, I'm one of those guys where I don't disagree with him being fired. I love Lovie Smith. Always have, always will. I don't disagree with the firing. Exactly. Like, you made all these horrible decisions after Lovie was fired. You hired Trestman. You hired Fox. You had this offense when Trestman came in of Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler and Elshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett. And you're like, oh my gosh, this could be amazing. And the best you do is 8-8. Okay, so fine. Tear it all down. You fire and bring in John Fox. He's terrible. You fire him. You bring in Nagy. And now we're at that same part that the Lovie was at where it's like, how much further can he take you?
Yeah.
You know, that was Lovie.
As he reached his ceiling in that first year, it's got to be that's brought up because, like you said, yeah, he's gone to the playoffs 2 or 3 times in a normal season. You know, he's been to the playoff once, you know, if you exclude this year and the, you know, the weirdness of the COVID season. But, like, last year, I remember what the record ended up being. Did they get 5 wins last year, 6 wins? But, like you said,
8-8 last year.
Were they real? Okay. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. So I apologize for that. But, like you're saying, people have been held accountable for a higher standard of football, and, you know, they've been held up here and gotten rid of. When you're here and you're not gotten rid of, what is that message that you're sending to your fans, is that we're okay with this?
Right.
Nothing. I'm going to end with this. Nothing will change until this team is sold to somebody 100%. Else. Say whatever you want to say about the McCaskies. Yes, it's this great organization or whatever, but nothing is changing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the same thing. Like if this continues, like with the Cubs, for example, with Ricketts, like we're going to be saying the same thing about them if they continue to do what they're doing for the next 5 years. You know, mm-hmm. it's you have to win. If you're not winning, it's when you have a big market franchise mm-hmm. in Chicago, Illinois, like if you're not winning, like you're going to be, the people are going to call for you to sell a team. It's going to happen. It's part of how it works.
This offseason will be a tough one. But yes. Let's move on. The big James Harden trade. He is now a Brooklyn Net. He is with Kevin Durant and maybe Kyrie Irving. Who knows when he'll be back playing with them. But Victor Oladipo goes to the Rockets.
I got it all here if you want me to run it down, Zach.
Please, Boomy.
Okay, so the Nets are trading Caris LeVert, Rodonis Kursic. Definitely butchered that. Four first-round picks and four pick swaps with Houston, with Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince going to Cleveland. Dante Exum going from Cleveland to Houston. The Rockets are then trading LeVert to the Indianapolis Pacers for Victor Oladipo, who are also sending or they're also including a 2023 second-round pick. Houston will also receive the Nets' three unprotected first-round picks in 22, 24, and 26, plus pick swaps in 21, 23, 25, and 27. And they get Houston's 2022 first-round pick. And the Nets will also acquire a second-round pick in 24. So obviously they had to balance out cap space and, you know, all that stuff to make it accepted by the league. But the big names in there, like you said, Zach, obviously Harden going to Brooklyn, Oladipo going to Houston, and Caris LeVert going to Indiana.
I don't know how you look at this trade and don't say that the Rockets won this trade.
I think Indiana gets a win too.
But, you know, I mean, they have four first-round picks.
Yeah.
Four swapped picks and some decent players.
Yeah, I think, you know, and Dante
Exum doesn't want to be on that team.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, for what you look at, you know, a guy that wasn't probably going to play there anyway, you know, Victor Oladipo is obviously an all-star. I'm not saying that Dante Exum is, you know, a good basketball player, but he's still a very young player. He needs to fill a spot. But Caris LeVert going to Indiana, I think those two teams win. And obviously, I think you look back at this in 8 months, and if the you know, the Brooklyn Nets are playing for an NBA championship, you say this is a win. But they're obviously going, you know, all chips in right now to try and win a title. But I don't. They better hope it works out, because there is also a good to fair chance that this ends very, you know, very, very bad with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant on the same team, coached by a guy who's coached, what, 9 games in the NBA as of right now. So they better hope and cross their fingers that it all plays out for them and works out.
So I think that with James Harden going to the Nets, I think the Nets win that trade. He's an MVP candidate every single year, scoring champion. Like, he's a guy who can turn that team. I mean, they're already a contender when you have – if Kyrie comes back. If you have Kyrie and KD and the rest of that team, that roster is pretty solid. And then you bring Harden into that. I mean, that is an absolute contending team. And I think they stockpiled all those draft picks over the years with different trades to kind of just tank. What's the point of having all those draft picks if you're not going to trade them for pieces that help you win when you've got – two of the best players in the league? So bringing in James Harden, I think, is an absolute win for them. I do think the Rockets got a lot more than probably was expected. I mean, James Harden literally said, "I don't want to be here." And they still got that many picks from the Nets, and still got Oladipo, still got Exum. I mean, like, they're sitting pretty good too. But I just, how can you get James Harden and not win the trade is my thing. Because they got him for this year and next year.
Very true. I think, like, in the sense, the Nets won the short term and the Rockets won the long term.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah.
Because, like you said, now they get James Harden. It's going to be, I mean, they've already started off hot. They have three of maybe the top 10 players in the league right now, when they're all fully healthy and wanting to play basketball. So I think that they are going to be a contender this year. And that's all you can ask for right now in the moment. Like I said, I was the one who brought up the four first round picks and the four other picks, but like, do you ever think you'll find a James Harden in any of those picks? Well, yeah. You never know. You never know. But
I think there's a true loser in this entire scenario, which is weird to say for a four-team trade. Usually there seems to be one loser. Now, obviously, if Victor Oladipo goes out and absolutely bombs in Houston, then you can say, but like looking at it right now, I think it's kind of a win all across the board for everyone involved.
Yeah, very well thought out trade. For a guy that didn't want to be where he was.
It gave me a headache just reading all of the things involved in that trade. I can't imagine actually being involved and having to figure out
that with these new rules, these new rules that the NBA has come down with on trades. I think that's why you saw so many draft picks. You really got to make it, especially with his contract is so big. I think you got to make it all work. So I think that if you're the NBA, you're also happy with this trade.
Absolutely.
Boomy, you got a wacky web story for us?
I sure do. And you might remember this. This was right around the time we started the podcast almost 3 years ago. January 9th, 2018, a really bad rainstorm near Santa Barbara, California, caused a gigantic mudslide. And, there was unfortunately a couple lives lost. But getting to the good part of the story, this family that was involved in this mudslide had a little calico cat that they thought has been missing, and they presumed it had died in this landslide. But fortunately, now 3 years later, the cat has been found. It's only been 3 years, like I said.
Wow.
But yeah, a cat named Patches was brought in as a stray last month, and microchip scan revealed her identity. And so the cat was returned to its family after being gone for 3 years. This family probably thought their family pet was gone forever. This massive landslide that killed quite a few people. And you kind of, you cut your losses and our cat's gone, but we're alive. And fortunately, 3 years later, they find out the cat made it out alive somehow. I can't imagine. They should have strapped a GoPro to that thing. I can't imagine what that cat's seen. Especially in 3 years, but a little feel-good story to finish up the show today.
Well, Boomy, I don't think the cat was expecting to go on the adventure, so I don't know when they could have put the GoPro on, knowing this.
You're not wrong.
But that would be interesting to do.
Absolutely.
But another great wacky webs. Not great. It was sad.
Also. Yeah. You gotta set them up with the sadness and then get the good stuff at the end.
It was very well told.
a balanced wacky web story.
Tug at the hard news and hit them with the good news.
Anything else, boys?
Go Hawks.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, this game took a little while to start because they had all the Stanley Cup stuff for the
behind because of the other game tonight, and I think there was 9 goals scored in that game, so it probably took a little extra time. I believe it was Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Yeah, final score 6-3. I think they had to wait for that game to get done. So
I don't think so. I think it was literally all of that. Like, I watched most of it. No, I didn't watch any of that game.
No, I had that one on. I noticed that's a lot of goals for opening night, but. Like you said,
maybe not though. The
goal no preseason. Preseason probably had something to do with it. So,
but Boomy will be watching the Blackhawks game, even though he said last night he would not.
Yeah, I get sucked back in every time.
Yeah, you can't not watch them, Boomy. That's just. At least give him a chance.
Yeah, especially opening night, Give it a couple of weeks and they're sitting at like 2-11-1, and then I'm probably not going to watch. But
what a fan.
Yeah. Hey, but like I said, like it's weird. The Blackhawks are in a bad spot because if they're not competitive, which I don't think anybody would be surprised if they were not competitive. The Bulls are fun to watch. Illinois is having a really good season. Northwestern's having a good season. And even if you go outside of Chicago a little bit, the rest of the Big Ten is really good. There's college basketball on every night. You know, it's at least, you know, there's other forms of entertainment. The Blackhawks aren't the only. There was quite a few years there where the Bulls were horrible. Illinois was very mediocre. Northwestern was bottom of the Big Ten. The closest thing you had with college basketball was probably Wisconsin. You know, those years they were good. So it's like now the Blackhawks are down and they have a little bit more competition. I don't know. It's not great for the brand.
Yeah, I don't know how many fans Northwestern will be taking from the Blackhawks, but they're five and four.
Northwestern?
Hey, but they're Chicago's Big Ten team, don't you know that?
They're 5-4 in the toughest conference in college basketball.
They are slipping though. They're on a deep. They're on a nosedive right now.
I would say Illinois pants them in that second half.
That was bad. That was bad.
Just like I said. Thank you for joining us, Jonathan Game at TCF Gameboy, and Boomy at Boomy TCF. I am Zach Loya at Z Loya TCF. The main page is at @typical_Chicago. Instagram, Facebook, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to the YouTube page. Type in Typical Chicago Fans. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Morning shows, podcasts, interviews, all on there. And then go over to wherever you get your podcast from. Type in Typical Chicago Fans. If it is Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. If it's anywhere else, like I said, just type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Shout out to 26shirts.com Chicago. Use the promo code Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Again, that is Typical Chicago Fans at checkout for 15% off of your purchase. Anything else, boys?
Let's have a beautiful Thursday. The weekend's almost here.
I suck at that.
This has been the TCF Morning Show, Thursday, January 14th. We love you all.
Peace.